Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for August the 1st. In the year of our Lord 2018, this is hour 202, and I am live in the middle of Pennsylvania, just leaving the hotel room now. Did the first hour on Audio Compass, our remote broadcasting tool. The second hour will be on the phone line. It's not optimal, but we're doing the best we can. I am headed to Gettysburg right now, ladies and gentlemen, and we are giving you some of the sights and sounds as I broadcast live from the field and bring you details of incredible things. The Hershey's Chocolate Factory, all kinds of cool stuff literally coming your way from Liberty Roundtable Live. Kurt Crosby is out right now at a family reunion, so he's not with me. But I did the first hour by myself. An incredible soundbite from Rand Paul. He was from the Senate floor, if you will. And Rand Paul was literally begging people on the Senate floor, his colleagues, the senators, to save one penny. I'm going to say it again. One penny out of 100. It's called the penny budget plan. And he begged his colleagues to literally, instead of spending a dollar, to spend 99 cents, and they refused overwhelmingly to even consider his proposal. Not really a debate, just a one-man grandstand, beg for the effort to save money. A few senators supported him, but it got shot down big time, and it got basically blackballed or blacked out by the mainstream press. They wouldn't even literally cover it. I mean, it's amazing, folks. All right, with that, hopefully we have our guest, Becky Akers. Are you with me?
Hello, Sam. It's always a pleasure and a privilege.
Thank you. So, Becky, did you hear about this penny budget plan from Rand Paul?
I didn't know, and I must admit, though, I have been offline for the last 2 days because of Verizon. I can't say enough
no,
bad
listen,
things
Becky,
about Verizon.
This happened back in May.
No, I haven't heard anything about it.
Okay. So Rand Paul put together a proposal to save one penny out of a dollar. In other words, he said, listen, what we typically do is we spend a dollar this year. We're projecting to spend $1.20 next year. And we're going to say that we're saving money because we're only going to spend $1.10 next year instead of $1.20. But the fact is it's going up. It's just not as increased as it could have been, if you will. That's how they typically do it. So when they tell you they're saving money on the budget, they're really increasing the budget. It's just not as much as the proposed or the projected increases would be. Therefore, they consider it a scale back, but it's all a big lie. And so Rand Paul literally said, and he put a bill forward. It's called the Penny Budget Plan, where he said, listen, instead of spending a dollar, let's spend 99 cents. And it turned out to be a little over $30 billion that you'd have to cut to do this. And he didn't decide where the cuts would be. So he didn't say we're going to take it out of the military. He didn't want to get enemies on this or get people to fight it or be against it for different reasons. So it's a canard to say that they're against it for this reason or that reason because he didn't decide where the money would be cut from. But even the education department spends $70 billion. They've been promising my whole lifetime, and I'm 51 years old. My whole lifetime they've been promising to cut the education department to literally shut it down. That's $70 billion. All you'd have to do is save $30 billion for this. And he literally begged for this for 9 minutes on the House floor. On the Senate floor, sorry. They didn't really discuss it or really give him the time of day, but he did grandstand and speak about it for 9 minutes, doing the best he could. He got support from Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and Mike Lee and a few guys. But for the most part, it got shot down and blackout by the media. No one even knew about it. It happened back in May. We'll never, ever make progress with the swamp monsters in place. And the Republican swamp monsters will stab you in the back. Now, the Democrats are literally going, we want socialism. We want free everything. We literally want to promote communism. But the Republicans are like wolves in sheep's clothing. They're running around going, yes, I stand for a balanced budget. Yes, I really want to cut spending. They ran on that whole platform. And now when they get the opportunity, they literally betray us behind our back, Becky.
But I would expect nothing more from Republicans. I think most of the rank and file Republicans, I know many of them are well-meaning. I don't mean the leeches in office. I mean the voters, people who vote Republican, people who consider themselves good conservatives, people who defend the Republican Party because they think it's a conservative. They are the ones who need to change. We can't expect these parasites who suck our blood and whose whole identity and life and paycheck is bound up in continuing to extort money from us. We can't expect them to defend freedom or for them to defend a balanced budget or for them to vote to decrease it by 1%, as Rand Paul has suggested. We're fools to think they ever will. These are people who are committed to growing government. They're not just committed to government, they're committed to growing government because they get more power, more money, and more authority that way. So the rank and file Republicans have to come to the realization that these Republicans in office are as much your enemy as they are anyone else's. They're not just Democrats' enemies. They're everyone's enemies because they are voting against and perpetrating policies that are against our best interests. They want to continue robbing us. They won't even consider a 1% reduction. And Sam, as for asking the media to report this, you know, again, that's as absurd as expecting Republicans in office to get behind this. The media is basically a fourth branch of government, and they do, and then now speaking of the corporate mainstream media, they do all they can, even Fox News. I know a lot of people think, well, Fox News is out there saying, no, they're not. Fox News is as statist as CBS or ABC, and that's one reason why the rise of the internet is so very exciting, and the rise of folks like Sam, because he's getting the truth out there. Sam, I look on you as very much the descendant of the Committees of Correspondence from the American Revolution.
You know, that's what we try to be. We try to truly be the truth tellers. We try to not have friends or foes. What we try to do is say this. It's not about siding with people or parties or groups. It's about, and it's not even a matter of who's right. It's a matter of what's right, and it's a matter of principle, and we stand on principle and what's right every time. And if somebody's right, we give them credit. I don't care who it is. Even if Hillary Clinton is right on occasion. I mean, even a digital clock that's broken is right once a day. Come on. So when they're right, we're willing to give them credit. The problem is they're rarely right, and the problem is most times they tell you one thing and do another. And that's exactly what we see here. The Republicans ran on getting rid of the Education Department forever. They ran on downsizing government. They all claim they're for a balanced budget. They all claim they want to – in fact, they ran on this idea that, well, Barack spent way too much money. I mean, the deficit just ballooned under him. And we got to stop it. And they ran on that. And Rand Paul even brought this up in his speech. He said, look, this is a matter of honor. You promised the voters, and now we want you to save one penny. And they literally, absolutely, completely shut him down. And then the mainstream press literally covered – for the Republicans, even the liberal press. Now, Fox had the opportunity to defend Donald Trump. They literally sided with CNN. So this is what all these people do. And I'm not interested in favors. I'm not interested in friendships. I'm not interested in money. I'm interested in the truth. And I'm interested in protecting the American ideal. We teach the ideal. We have to live in the real. I get it. But we really need to say, I'm not going to protect people that are supposedly friends. If Rand Paul does something that I disagree with, and I'm going to give you an example of something he's doing that I disagree with in seconds, then we'll call Rand Paul on the carpet. Okay? We don't have friends and enemies. We have the truth, and the truth shall set us free. And we are willing to tell the truth no matter who it affects. And I think that's rare in our society today as a whole, Becky.
Oh, absolutely it is. And the Republicans' behavior reminds me of that, you know, as regarding Rand Paul's 1% reduction. Their refusal to even consider it very much reminds me of that quote from Mussolini, everything inside the state, nothing outside the state. Okay, not even one penny will escape the state as long as Republicans and Democrats control it. Actually, I have to say that regardless of what parties control it, because we can look overseas and we can see other types of political parties, and you have the same phenomenon where, you know, the governments are seeking to subsume all of life, all right? And that's really what's going on here and why this proposal and the reaction to it is so incredibly important, Sam, and you should be very proud, Sam, and those of you listening should be very thankful to him that you're bringing this to our attention, Sam, because it really is incredibly symbolic. It is putting into practice and showing us precisely the philosophy of Mussolini, okay? Not even 1% will escape the state. Everything inside the state, nothing outside the state. So we need to recognize that this is the nature of government. It will continue to metastasize and to grow and to mushroom until we stand up and forcibly take back our freedom.
And let me tell you what's going to happen, Becky. We can avoid the pain of the increased budget temporarily while we pretend we have control, while we manipulate the Federal Reserve, while we create hidden inflation, which is a hidden tax that people need to understand, while we can manipulate the, you know, the bonds and the stock market and the trades, and the, we can pretend. But I'm going to tell you what's going to cause a halt to the con game with Becky Akers in seconds. Check out her novels, ladies and gentlemen. They're incredible. Look for Becky Akers and Hailstorm. Becky Akers and The Other Side of the Benedict Arnold Story. We'll tell you.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Becky Akers riding shotgun today. Wow, incredible books she's got, by the way. A book about Benedict Arnold, The Other Side of the Story, if you will. Right? Interesting details. Is Benedict Arnold who you thought he was? All I'm telling you is when you read that book, you realize history ain't what you learned in school, baby. I'll tell you that right now. It's called Abducting Arnold. Incredible book. The other book that she's written is just as impressive. And that one is about Hailstorm, about Nathan Hale, and what a class act that gentleman truly was in history. One of the most important patriots, historically speaking, you can possibly imagine. Check that out. Anyway, I bring all that up to say, but look for it online. Becky Akers, Abducting Arnold, or Becky Akers, Hailstorm. Incredible novels. I don't know of any novels like it. It's incredible. It matches history to a T, but yet it puts characters and people and places and things to where you can really get the story told through the eyes of patriots like no other. Just tremendous stuff. Anyway, I digress, but I wanted to really highlight those books because I think they're tremendous. I've read them and highly recommend them to you as well. Okay, so Becky, here's what's interesting to me. This is a national security crisis, and Ron Paul brought this up literally on the Senate floor. It's on the senatorial record now. And he basically said, hey, this is a national security crisis because one day we're not going to be able to have complete control. This hegemonist idea of the United States having the, quote, perfect global currency is going to meet its timely death. And when it does, it ain't going to be fun. And right now the dollar is kind of the, quote, economic currency of the world. But that isn't going to last. And a country like China, who holds so much of our debt, could literally start calling a halt to the con game, literally at their choosing. Other nations could do the same. A block of nations could bring us to our knees in a matter of seconds. So this is a serious national security crisis or issue as well. Becky, do you want to respond to that?
Well, again, we're not going to get anywhere. And by we, I mean us serfs who pay the bills, because politicians worldwide are after one thing. And whatever label they bear, whether they're Republicans or Democrats or Democratic Socialists in Germany or Tories in England, wherever these people are, or the outright communists in Venezuela and Russia, they are after one thing and one thing only, and that is increased power. And the fastest route to power is to control currency, to control people's money, to control their paychecks, okay? That is the fastest way to power. So we are never going to see any government anywhere admit honestly that money should not be under government control, okay? And according to our Constitution, it is not under government's control. The Constitution only grants Congress the power to manufacture money, not to set its value, not to determine anything else about it, okay? And in the 19th century and 18th century, money, in fact, prior to the creation of the Federal Reserve, as most people know, money was the province of private banks. They issued notes, they issued the value, and everything was based on gold. To expect government to give this up, to say that we'll let money return to the private sector, the only way these parasites and leeches will agree to that is if we hold them at gunpoint.
And the founding fathers literally tried to put us on a gold and silver coin. They tried to ratchet down on us money. Andrew Jackson of old really tried to rout the bankers out. John F. Kennedy tried to create $2 United States notes, which weren't perfect because they were debt, but they were better than the Federal Reserve notes of the private banking cartel bearing interest. And there have been people throughout history who have warned about this, who have tried to change this narrative for us. All of them have failed because government runs amok and gets out of control. It's fascinating to see what's really happened here, but I'm telling you that these nations will bring America to its knees. They will pull the, quote, Trump card, to borrow the phrase. They will literally force this to happen. It's not if, Becky, because as you wisely point out, governments do this. Global government will always do this. And it's not a matter of if they will do it. It's really only a matter of when. And we've got $20 trillion in debt that's literally on the books. But you've got over $200 trillion when it comes to unfunded liabilities. In other words, things that we've promised or things that we've projected that we literally haven't committed funding for. And at some point, if these nations decide they're going to pull the plug, we don't stand a chance. If they decide that they're going to use OPEC as the barter global cartel, if they decide to use global banks and trade, if they decide to get together as bloc nations and use the yuan or whatever that currency is, or some of these other currencies, they could literally force this reality, and there would be nothing we could do about it. Would it be painful for them? Absolutely, but it would be relatively short-term because they could trade with one another. But they could literally isolate us, block us out, and say, your hegemony is going to stop. your nation building and nation manipulation and sovereignty breaching is going to stop. And we're not going to tolerate the big bully of the United States any longer. We're not going to use your global currency. They could do it, and they would recover much faster than we would, and they could isolate us very quickly. This is something really to watch, because it's not a matter of if. I submit to you, it's a matter of when, Becky.
You know, Sam, I can see it going either way. It's the same problem you have with a monopoly, okay? And this is why monopolies are always government enforced, okay? Anytime you see an industry that's monopolized by one or two big players, that's because they have government solidly behind them. The reason being, when you have a big player, a little tiny guy can come in and he can move more quickly and he can respond to current market trends, whereas the big guys are kind of ossified in their bureaucratic mode. The little guy can go in there and offer consumers something they can't get anywhere else. That's why you have got to have government squashing any kind of competition that springs up. I see the same problem here. You'll have a couple of nations that do this, but you'll have other nations saying, no, wait, you know, I want to stay with the big, sure bet. America is strong militarily, and I want to stay with that. I like how they bully you over there, my age-old enemy. I like the way they're bullying you, and they're in your country. I'm going to stick with them. So I'm not as confident as you are that it will, in fact, happen, but I can certainly go along with your argument.
And I would submit to you that it won't be 100%. I agree with you that there will be nations that will pick the big bully. There will be nations that dissent. There will not be a complete solidarity, a complete isolation. But China alone has the ability to bring us to our knees. If they literally said, look, we're calling a halt to the con game. We're going to demand that you pay back your notes. You've breached contracts. You've violated international war agreements, and you've committed war crimes, you've breached the sovereignty of other nations, you've meddled in elections. They could make a case that could literally say you breached the contract and we're going to call a halt. One nation could do it, Becky.
One nation could, but I seriously doubt China will, because everything China is alleging about us is basically what China has done too. And I don't mean that they're hesitant to throw a stone when they live in a glass house. I mean that they are far more interested in power than they are morality. Punishing the U.S., it doesn't even enter their mind. China's leaders are in league with U.S. leaders. They all understand each other. They all, politicians and rulers worldwide, consider themselves on the same team. Okay, the only reason that they fight with one another is because they want power that the other one has. But they all realize they're in it together, gaining as much power as they can over us billions and billions of serfs. Sam, that's why we all need to realize it's them against us, because they certainly realize it, and they certainly act that way.
And the real question is will they maintain their global agreements? Will they maintain being on the same side, or at some point will their global dreams faction? And I submit that, you know what, George Washington had a vision. It was, you know, son of the Republic, look and learn. And in that, we won. And we won because enemies basically decided to come against the United States, and angels came down to help out the followers of God. And I find that a fascinating vision of George Washington, if you will. And I find it fascinating that I believe that they've been trying to create their global tyranny for literally 6,000 years, biblically speaking, since Adam and Eve came on the planet. Cain killed Abel, and it all started, kind of a thing, just a quest for power and murder and gain and control. And they've never got it 6,000 years, and they're not going to get it this time. But they're going to go for a Hail Mary at some point. And when they do, they're going to lose the prize. And I think that's kind of what we're dealing with here. And I don't think there'll be solidarity, but I don't think that they'll be able to maintain their cooperation forever. They're going to betray one another. That's what they do. They're going to murder one another. That's what they do. They're going to deceive one another, and there's going to be intrigue and political infighting and things like that. And when that happens, it won't be fun.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Mm-hmm. getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense, as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sorry about the rough broadcasting this hour. It's really hard to, when there's a lot of transitions and noises in the world, and we're doing the best we can. But I wanted to have Becky Akers on because I really wanted to talk about this. You know, I'm convinced that you know what, we win in the end. Don't worry. If you're on the Lord's side, who, so to speak, if you are a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you win in the end, folks. Let's hold on to that. It's just a matter of how abusive and hostile and what kind of persecution we experience in the process. That's really the question. But all I'm telling you is I don't believe these nations and these people will be able to stay together. They will have political intrigue, and they'll stab each other in the back. And that's what they do. They've been trying for this global tyranny quest for 6,000 years since Adam came to the earth, so to speak, and they murdered the Savior in the process. And they haven't got their global tyranny yet, and they're not going to get it this time either, Becky.
No, I don't. In the end, they will lose. The question is, how far off is the end, and how much are we all going to suffer before that glorious day comes?
It's a fair question, and I don't have the answers. I just know this. I want to do my best to make America great, tell the truth, keep the commandments of God, and in that I hope to have protection, and I hope to have a healing of our land, and that we need to turn to God for, and there is no other alternative.
Oh, I couldn't agree more, Sam.
All right, I want to talk about Rand Paul, and I want to talk about Mr. Kavanaugh. This guy's name is Brett Kavanaugh. They tell you that he's a great Supreme Court justice. He's conservative as all get out. It's just going to be incredible. thank heavens for the Republicans, you know, stacking the Supreme Court with, quote, the good guys. I don't see it that way. Republicans have had their crack at putting Supreme Court justices in place over and over and over and over. And the Supreme Court justice is literally right now ruled by Republicans that stab us in the back. And that's kind of the theme today. Congress has stabbed us in the back with regards to the penny budget plan of Rand Paul. They literally in May stabbed him in the back and said, no, we're not going to cut a penny. Are you crazy? And now the Supreme Court, similar. Mr. Kavanaugh, his biggest snafu, in my opinion, in his career, was when he covered up the Vince Foster murder, Becky.
Yes. And you can't expect anyone in government to bring that to the fore. They are all, you know, again, they stick together. We should understand that. We should stop expecting that they're going to have courage to rat each other out. I always love the See Something, Say Something campaign where they attempt to turn us into snitches against each other. They never do it, and we should realize that.
What are we to do? Ammon Bundy, my good friend, asked this question when he came out of jail. He said, you know, what are we to do? What are we to do about this? I know we can keep the commandments of God. We can teach people to repent and turn to God. I think that's critical. But what are we to do? Because I see that they're literally taking over the media. They're literally taking over everything. When you put Facebook and Google and Twitter and Amazon and Walmart and a few of these global corporations together, they literally have created almost the best 1984 scenario. I mean, it makes 1984 look like child's play, Becky. And they're literally doing this. They haven't affected the Liberty Roundtable much yet and Liberty News Radio because we don't depend on Google for our funding and our revenue. We don't depend on Amazon or sales. But most of the other companies are starting to melt down under the pressure now, and it's only going to get worse.
And that's one reason you're so free, Sam, is because you don't depend on these huge corporations that, you know, again, any large corporation is that way because it is in bed with the feds and with local governments, too. These people love government. They love the state. A lot of their power and a lot of their market share is a direct result of their cooperation with the state. So this is why we should be very wary of them and never expect them to have our interests at heart or to be in favor of freedom.
I look at this Kavanaugh thing, and Rand Paul is going to vote for Kavanaugh, literally ensuring the passage. I think if we could create a great opposing of this by conservatives, we might get somewhere. But when you have Rand Paul and most of the Christian groups backing Kavanaugh, look, this guy that covered up the Vince Foster murder, this guy that has a history of narrowly giving us a victory but planting time bombs down the road where the Supreme Court literally rejects the Constitution. This is the stuff Kavanaugh is known for. He's a, what, lapdog of Kennedy, so to speak. He used to clerk for Kennedy. This guy is not our friend. Now, he might be better than some of the judges that say, a Hillary Clinton might put in place. But this is really another example of we're fixing to have a Republican appointee turn out to be a sellout. With rare exception, I see that to be the case, Becky.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, Sam, the solution to too much government is not going to come from the government, okay? The solution to an overweening government lies only with us and with our guns. Any government is bent on increasing its own power. That is its raison d'etre. It's going to continue to grow. It's going to continue to amass power. To expect these people to voluntarily rein themselves in is expecting what has never happened and never will. It is up to us to wrest our freedom back from them. To expect that the state is going to put someone on the Supreme Court who will try to turn the tide, who will say, you know, we have too much power, let's get rid of some. Not going to happen. When you get to that level of the Supreme Court that you're being considered for that sort of nomination, you are a proven friend of government, or your name would never be entered into nomination, okay?
It's yeah, like, and look at Robert. Look at the Robert Bork battle is the point, right?
Any of them. You can look at any of them. And again, the government is playing us for fools, and so is the media. They present somebody like Kavanaugh as a true friend of conservatives. He isn't. He never has been. He wouldn't be where he's gotten if he wanted to shrink government. You just don't get that high. All right? You may pay lip service to those ideals, and you may do it to bamboozle the people who vote for you, but you are not going to be put out there as a viable candidate for any position if you are not very, very, very cozy with big government.
All right. In addition to the Kavanaugh decision, which is of great, great concern as far as I can tell, it seems to me that Donald Trump is literally now pushing to enforce gun laws. So publicly, he's doing a lot of things that make us applaud. But I believe it's almost like a three-ring circus. We're applauding Donald on five things that he's doing right. And even there's 20 things behind the scenes that he's doing that turns out to be good that we hear about. But there's just enough bad that we're not hearing about. And this gun rights is an issue. For example, internationally speaking, they got the International United Nations gun control laws that Donald Trump hasn't flat out rejected or stood against. He's been silent on it. And the longer he's silent, the more ground it silently gains, Becky.
Yeah, and, you know, again, what is the overwhelming interest of government? Subjugating all of us, growing its own power. They are not going to give us our rights when it comes to the Second Amendment, because we can defy them. That's the whole point of the Second Amendment, so that we can defy government. They're not ever going to agree to that. They know they've got a gravy train going. They know they don't have to do an honest day's work. They know they're leeching off us. They like the limousines, and they like the mansions, and they like the four-star restaurants, and they love going out and having the media and everybody else fawning at their feet. Okay, they're not going to give that up. One of the easiest ways they could give that up is to say, gosh, you know what? I guess you guys should be able to bear arms. I guess you should be able to keep and bear without registration and without having to notify us that you've got them and without all the restrictions we put on. Yeah, you know, we've been tyrannical in that. Let's change. They're not going to do that. They're not going to let you get within a country mile of getting your gun rights back. So, the only way for us to restore our liberty is not to expect the government to grant us more of our freedom. They will never do that. Our founding fathers understood that about the British Empire. They understood that freedom that we had is gone, and the British Empire is going to continue to dictate to us. So we have to wrest our freedom back from them by force. Okay, and let me emphasize, what the British Empire had done to the colonists was tiny, not even visible compared to what our government is doing to us.
And in my opinion, the founders understood this principle, but they only made their move when they were going to take the guns away. They tolerated a ton. People think the revolution just happened and, you know, all of a sudden, hey, we're going to have an American revolution. It's not how it happened. It was 40, 50, whatever years in the making. It did happen, though, when the government decided that they were going to take away the guns. That's when all heck broke loose, so to speak. And I submit to you that history repeats itself. Quick pause. Becky Akers with us. She'll respond in seconds on the other side of this short break on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, sorry for the choppy audio and all the transitions. I'm on the road. I'm actually navigating to Gettysburg right now, but I will do some incredible sound bites from the field that I'll play on tomorrow's broadcast, just like we did from the Hershey Chocolate Factory, just like we did from New York City, the 9/11 Memorial, talking about conspiracies and how deceptive and false flags are the hallmark of out-of-control, belligerent, tyrannical governments. We will talk about these things. It will be very candid, very open. We will be absolutely hardcore in leveling with you on what we really think, how, why, what, and most importantly, what we can do about it and the solutions. Becky, I agree with you, and they're not going to give our guns back. They're not going to back off on this hostile takeover of our Second Amendment. They're literally letting it happen by stealth right now, taking away our right to keep and bear arms. And that's when the Patriots decided, hey, you know what, we'll tolerate a lot. But when you come for the guns, that's the only chance we'll ever have to stop you. And we're not going to let you make that move. And I submit history repeats itself. I hope it doesn't happen, but I'm telling you right now, that's when the Patriots, the founders, said, you're not crossing that line. And I submit to you that that's where we'll probably be in the future.
It's like Jefferson said in the Declaration of Independence, when he says a long train of abuses and usurpations, and that we're far more comfortable with what the abuses we're familiar with. Mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce us under absolute tyranny, that's what taking away our Second Amendment rights does. Okay, it does reduce us to absolute tyranny because we have no way to defend ourselves from the state at that point. And I've read skeptics and communists who laugh at us because of that. As if you could ever defy the United States Army, but we can. All right, there's been very interesting analysis on various websites from patriots who analyze, could we, in fact, those of us who love freedom, when we insist on the Second Amendment as a way of defending ourselves from the overweening government, could we, in fact, do so if the United States Army were sent against us? And based on the numbers, despite the Army's incredible weaponry, based on the numbers of patriots who are armed and ready to defend themselves, we would totally overwhelm the Army. Would we have a lot of casualties? Yes, we would. But we shouldn't despair. It is possible to defend our freedom even from the world's most fearsome armed force, okay? And remember, the Patriot, the Founding Fathers did exactly the same thing. Britain at that time, along with France, was the most powerful army in the world, and our Founding Fathers, most of whom were shopkeepers and farmers, stood up against these well-trained troops. We need to follow their example and do the same thing. We need to remember that liberty is far more important even than life itself. I'd rather live free and live on my feet than die on my knees, or die on my feet than live on my knees. We need to adopt that as our slogan. And the Second Amendment underlies all other rights and freedoms. Once the Second Amendment is gone, all our other rights are gone, too. It is the fundamental building block of our freedom, of our lives, of the form of government in the Constitution, where we are the ones in control, not the feds, okay? Once that Second Amendment is gone, that is the foundation of everything. So we need to fight to the death, just like the founders. This is the line in the sand. They don't cross it. And I have to say, Sam, to our shame, and to the shame of our parents and grandparents, we have allowed huge incursions on the Second Amendment, and we have not stood up against those incursions. And that is just a mark against us that it's going to make it twice as hard to recover our vanishing freedom.
Now, one of the things to think about is not only could we, if necessary, defend ourselves because of our greater numbers, I submit to you that there's a significant amount of the military who are patriotic people. They might be deceived of why they went into the armed forces. They might believe that it's a career. They might right now say, I'm just doing my job. But at some point when push comes to shove, they will side with the American people, a substantial amount. And the reason I say that is the Oath Keepers are a group like that, that they get it. They're providing leadership. There's a lot of people who truly do believe in America. Michael New was made a horrible example of where they abused him. But he understood it. And so they know this, Becky. And that's why what they're trying to do now is create these international peacekeeper groups, to where what they do is bring in foreign people to go against us, because they won't have those same reservations that the American people have against going against themselves. The Civil War acts as a very stark reminder about this issue that, hey, it wasn't good then and isn't good now. And the American people, the Americans will get it. It's the foreign troops that they'll bring in that you have to worry about, I would submit, the most.
Yes, and those websites I mentioned, and I had read different speculations about both those things, how much of the Army, the U.S. Army, would side with patriots and refuse to take up arms against an armed rebellion, how many foreign troops could be expected to appear, all that kind of stuff. But, you know, again, my point is simply that we need to understand the Second Amendment is the line in the sand. And again, we have allowed so many blows against it. We need to start taking those blows back. We need to start making the government afraid of us instead of us afraid of it. We need to stand together to defend our right to self-defense. I really cannot overemphasize how very important being armed in defense of our freedom is.
All right, I've got a couple of headlines that I want to run by you. We don't have much time left, but I want you to respond to them, each one of them, if you can, Becky. So I'm just going to throw them out, let you respond quickly, then move to the next one. There's four or five of them that I want to get to. The first one says, Central Park rapists, Trump was right, writes Ann Coulter.
Okay, I don't know which of the Central Park rapists we're talking about.
Well, we're talking about basically illegal aliens and things like that. This is kind of an immigration-sized border discussion. And we literally have immigrants who are abusing us big time. And so they want to basically lock the border down. I don't want to lock the border down. I think locking down the borders are what tyrannical nations do, personally. But again, this is a big promotion of the Patriots, so to speak, right?
And Sam, I agree with you entirely. There is no constitutional basis for the federal government to be involved in any way in immigration or emigration. So all the good patriots and conservatives out there who want the feds to clamp down on our freedom to come and go, please, you should understand you are arguing for an anti-constitutional measure, and you are playing right into the hands of the tyrannical state. I don't know, Sam, it's a long story, and you said you had four or five of these to get to, but I don't know if anyone remembers Andrew Speaker, who was a tuberculosis man afflicted with tuberculosis, who encountered this. Doctors restricted his ability to travel, and he wanted to go overseas, and he outfoxed them. But, you know, again, we should understand it's not just people with diseases. It could be political dissidents, too. And it's not just illegal aliens, quote. It is people that the government have an interest in detaining here. That should scare all of us, especially when we reflect that this government tortures people.
You got to always remember it's a double-edged sword is the point, ladies and gentlemen. Just because they frame it in a way that you go, hurrah, 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 and wave the pom-poms, be very careful, ladies and gentlemen, because tomorrow it will be the same thing that you go, wait a minute, what have we done? That is the point. All right, Trump vows to sanction Turkey if they don't release this pastor named Andrew Brunson. You know about this guy?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I'm not so sure that sanctioning nations are the answer. I think we need to try to get this guy free. But I don't know that sanctions are the answer. In fact, I think that'll just make matters worse.
You know, Sam, I would agree. I think the freedom of Americans worldwide is paramount. It's one of the only things that, constitutionally speaking, our government can do. But usually it goes about it the wrong way. I would also suggest that Americans who go abroad are pretty much risking their own safety, and you should take that into account when you go abroad. I know that this man is trusting in the Lord to protect him, and I know his family is trusting as well. And there are many, many things that we could do aside from bringing force and threats against a country that is abusing an American. We can cut off trade with them. We can do a bunch of different things. And I don't mean the government. I mean we personally. We can boycott Turkish products. We can do a bunch of different things. We don't need government involved in this at all.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I agree we need to release the good pastor, but I'm telling you right now, government's force is not going to help. It's just going to make matters worse and foment hate against America. The blowback over time will be tremendous. Last headline before the end of the hour. I wanted to get to more of them, but here's the last one. National Public Radio, funded by your tax dollars, ladies and gentlemen. NPR explains the new Democratic left. Okay, and I don't like the left-right paradigm, but here's what they're saying that's of interest. They say Jesus was a socialist, and that's why they should be socialist, and it's biblical. Becky, it doesn't get more absurd.
Oh, this just is one of my pet peeves, and this is so totally anti-scriptural and so totally illogical. Jesus Christ famously stood against force and the initiation of force against innocent people, okay? You cannot build a case for anything other than that. And the pacifists, actually, who say, if you're a Christian, you have no right even to defend yourself, okay? You have no right ever to use force, even if you're defending yourself from an attack. They have a lot more on their side than the non-pacifist approach, scripturally speaking. Okay, I'm not a pacifist, but I have read their arguments, and I think they're pretty sound, all right? That said, what is socialism? Socialism is force. Socialism brings the force of government against individuals to strip them of their honor, their dignity, and most of all, their wealth. And then government takes that money it has stolen from the producers, and it distributes a bit of it to the rest of the population while keeping most of it for itself. This is force. This is theft, okay? We have a commandment against this. Jesus Christ said, I came not to abolish law, but to fulfill it. He would never endorse stealing from anyone, no matter what you do with that money. You can do Mother Teresa and Robin Hood combined, and you can take that money from the wealthy people and feed the poor, and you are still going to stand before Almighty God, and you are going to explain why you were a thief, and then you're going straight to hell, okay? Socialism is theft. Socialism is wicked. Socialism is nothing other than government force and government guns trained on wealthy people and producers to take their money from them. This sort of heresy straight from the pit of hell needs to be combated every single time we encounter it, and the people who are putting it out there on our taxes, we need to go and form a loose mob and get them.
Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have said it better myself. Phenomenal broadcast. Thank you so much, Becky.
Thank you, Sam. It's always a pleasure and a privilege. And death to socialism. It is outrageous that anyone would blaspheme our Lord by claiming he's a socialist.
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. We revere Savior Jesus Christ as God. And we submit that he was resurrected. And it's our admonition to follow him. We declare this nation shall endure.